Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And of course, that's Lebo's Khobela and Line of Judah. Takes us down to 26 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock. My name is Lukom Kwedi Puti. I'm absolutely thrilled to be spending yet another afternoon with you. I did tell you it's quite a hectic afternoon. But am I complaining? Of course not. Because, I mean, why would I be complaining when I'm having really meaningful conversations? And I told you this hour... Sure, we're talking to, people that love writing, people that love reading. I cannot imagine a person that likes writing that does not like reading. That for me would be an absolute disconnect, I must say. And so this afternoon I've got, should I call him Pastor? Is that a good title?
It's a good title. You can use my first name as well.
I'm talking to Ali Khosana this afternoon. Good afternoon,
sir. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to be here with you today.
I'm good. Guys, Ali and myself are going to need to take a picture at some point.
We're
because
gonna do that.
We got the coolest glasses.
Yes.
We got white framed glasses. Does he not say to me, I'm brave to wear white glasses?
That's correct.
He's got white glasses himself.
It's a frame, it's a color for the brave.
True.
He's gonna wear it as glasses.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Now, Ali, you're not new to the family. I think the other day I was sitting on the other side and I heard your voice.
Yes.
He's a South African American.
No, a South African that
lives in America.
That lives in America, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, South African American. I have a wife and to be American. Why don't you?
No, I'm a solid South African. I'm a solid South African.
Oh, man.
But I've been living in America now for 9 years.
Really? So, yeah. Very long time, I must say. And it's quite interesting that your accent has not been diluted at all.
Yeah, it's hard to... The accent to change if you move to America after in your 30s.
True. Makes sense. Now, tell us a bit about you because we're going to talk about self-sabotage very soon, which is the book you've written, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about you. Who are you exactly? If we can just get to know you today.
Yeah, my name is Ali Khosana. I was born and raised in Limpopo.
Oh, you're a Limps guy. Oh,
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, as the organic people. Yes.
I want to buy my mango.
Yeah, and my avocado.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I was born in Limpopo in a small town called Mukopani. Mm-hmm. A township called Makhwelereng. So I'm from actually Makhwelereng.
Makhwelereng.
That's where I'm from, from in Limpopo. Yeah, so went through schooling. I went to... a boarding school, and then after that, I felt the call of the Lord at the age of 18, and I looked for Bible college. I ended up at Hatfield Christian Church.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So that's where I went for my Bible college. After that, they called me into their pastoral team. So I became a pastor, one of the congregational pastors. At Hatfield Christian Church, yes.
I know it because I literally worked right next door to it. So for years, I'd go get my lunch from Hatfield. Oh,
I know. And last time I accidentally mentioned the name where you worked. So I'm not going to do that.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah, so I was there, went to Bible college, and I was called into being a congregational pastor. Mm-hmm. I was there for about 10 years, and we planted a church. After that, in Midrand, the Kyalami area,
okay,
we're there for about a year or so, and we moved to Pretoria. Then after Pretoria, my wife and I moved to the U.S. because my wife, actually, she's an American.
Oh,
so I met
that's
her.
Why.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pastor came. The pastor was visiting. He was a visiting speaker at Hatfield Christian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met.
Can she pronounce her surname?
My wife?
Yeah, Khosana.
It's Khosana.
Really? Can she?
Khosana. She says, you know what, the G, you know, is so it's hard, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
She says Khosana. So yeah, she can, but for the most part, she can.
Oh, man, that's absolutely beautiful, yeah. I must say. Let's talk about self-sabotage. You know, though the term itself may commonly be used.
Yeah.
What did you have in mind when you decided to script the book, Self-Sabotage? And perhaps you can just let us know, what is it all about?
Yeah, I wrote the book called Self-Sabotage, and the subtitle there is The Enemy of Prophecy. And I based it on the fact that I had seen so many times, you know, traveling around and even being a pastor myself, people would come to me who were carrying the promises of God and things that God has said to them, but they will end up somehow not seeing the fulfillment of that.
Yeah.
And as I talked to them and engaged to them, I began to realize that most people, the reason why we don't fulfill what God has said to us or walk in the promises that God has given to us is because we keep self-destructing, self-sabotaging. I'll give an example. You talk to somebody that had a history of failure. They tried a business venture and it failed. And now they are somewhere praying, or somebody speaks into their lives and say, God said you're going to be a great business person and all that, and it's time for you to step into that. And I've seen people like that not wanting to step anymore into businesses because of the fear of failure. They failed in the past. And now because they failed in a particular thing, now they don't even have the guts and the boldness to step into the new thing that God wants to step them into, them to step into. So they end up self-sabotaging because of that fear they carry. For some people, it could be impatience.
Okay.
It's like because you missed your turn last time, or somehow last time when God spoke to you, you took your time and you felt like you missed the opportunity, and now God says something to you. Now, all of a sudden, you're all in this hurry. You're trying to make things yourself. And we see that most of the time with marriage.
Okay.
You know, when somebody feels that God is going to bring a spouse to them and all that, or maybe somebody prays for you, say, I believe God is going to bring you a spouse and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the person just entertains every individual that comes through without even praying.
Okay.
And you want to get into the mode of trying to help God to fulfill his word. You think about Abraham and Sarah as well. Isaac is promised, but the process takes long. And in that process, they think maybe, just maybe,
there has to be some practicality to it.
Let's be practical about it. Oh, here is a slave girl called Hagar. We're going to invite her in. Abraham, let impregnate her. Then Ishmael comes in. Ishmael, I name Ishmael is the Ishmael is always the seed of discouragement,
okay,
and delay, because it's delayed so much. I try to do other things in my life to help God to fulfill that which He said He was going to do.
Okay,
and now I'm here holding on to Ishmael because I did not have the patience to adhere to the process. That comes with the word or prophetic word or a promise that was given to me. Because every time prophecy comes out, it's attached to process. I mean, look at from Genesis. Process is the theme of the Bible. God, in the beginning, there was God. And God began to speak. And God created the universe in 7 days. God could have done it in a minute.
Okay.
But God takes 6 days, process again. Every day he does something, the next day, and the seventh day God rests. Process.
All right.
Then Adam shows up. Another process. Let's name all these animals. Process. Oh, let's get your wife. Oh, Adam, you're going to go fall into a deep sleep. While you're asleep, process will take the wife out of your rib. So you think of Joseph, you think of Abraham, you think of Noah with the ark. Everything that God is going to do in our lives is going to require process. And there is this myth about prophecy. And that is why there is this uprise of false prophets. Because they always promise people fulfillment of prophecy without process.
Microwave prophecies.
Microwave. And God works with the slow cooker. You know that slow cooker? what do you call them? The oxtail. You can't put oxtail in a microwave. You can do it for 10 minutes, but when it comes out, the taste is going to be horrible.
Of course.
But it takes those hours because it builds flavor. And that is why, you know, God doesn't want your gifting and his promises to take you to places where your character won't
will
be able to sustain you.
Sure.
So the reason God says, okay, here's a promise, here's a process. He said, I want my promise to be one with you, to form in you.
Mm.
But why, how do you self-sabotage? We begin to find our Ishmaels.
Sure.
But here's the thing about Ishmael. We're going to have to live with Ishmael in the presence of Isaac.
Yeah. All right.
And we're going to have to, at some point, get rid of that Ishmael. It's a hard thing. Look at in the scriptures what happened.
Mm.
Ishmael wanted to, was bothered in the seed, Isaac.
Sure.
And says, all going, now the two of you cannot be together.
Sure.
Ishmael.
You've got to leave.
You've got to leave.
So at some point, Ishmael's going to need to leave.
He's going to need to leave. He's going to need to leave.
This is a hard truth.
So that is why self-sabotage, the enemy of prophecy, is me saying, guys, we fall victims to false prophets.
Mm.
We fall victims to shortcuts in life.
Mm.
Because somehow, deep down in us, we think we can bypass the process that is there. Or somehow in us, there are wounds in us.
Mm.
The pain that we carry. That when God comes, speaks to me, I allow my pain to speak louder than the promises of God.
Sure.
Because unhealed pain can torture and choke the promises of God in your life.
Sure.
That is why Jesus does not only want to heal your physical body, he wants to heal your heart.
Sure. So you're talking about the process. That's the one thing I'm getting here. But what key areas? I don't want us to take the book out of the book just now. We don't buy it because we need to buy the book.
There's so much
definitely
in that book.
I want you to unpack it for me right now. Actually,
yeah.
what is it that you'd say I'll get out of the book? Actually, the key things that you want to bring to our attention regarding this. Because let's be real, Ali. Like you're saying, we are living in an era where prophecy is used as a tool for manipulation.
Yeah.
We are living in a very dangerous era.
Yeah.
And if we can't discern, we're in trouble.
That is it.
Mm.
The holy word that is missing in the church, discernment.
Sure.
Discernment. And that has to do with being able to hear God for yourself.
For yourself. I love that.
For yourself. Before any other voice can become prominent in your life, the voice of God has to be the one that is prominent.
Come on.
My sheep hears my voice. So if you are a true sheep of Jesus,
you've got to identify the voice.
You've got to identify the voice. But unfortunately, we have built a church that is so dependent on individuals to give instructions of what people should do. And I'm a pastor, pastor church in South Carolina. I am not saying that a church should not have a leader and a church leader should not teach and disciple the people. But what I'm saying is that there's a problem if my only source of the word, it comes on Sunday from a man, and Monday to Saturday, I don't even engage God. I don't even open the word for myself.
Yeah.
I don't even sit and say, or I just go and pray. You know, people say, I pray every morning at 5. And I'll say to people, what has God said to you today then after 5, after you prayed? Nothing. So I say, you want to tell me that you are in the presence of God. You spoke to God. And after you finished giving him your grocery list and pouring out your emotions, you say, okay, God, now my conscience is clear. I'm going to go have a day and go ahead with my day. And that's how we get in trouble because we have not developed a culture of the listening. The most important part of prayer is the listening part of it.
Sure.
Because it's from the listening part of the prayer that I'm able to walk out the will and the plan of God for my life.
Sure.
So, and you ask, okay, what is the root of my book? I go to the heart. And the root of it is that there is a God who speaks. And there's a choice. There's choices that we make from what God has spoken.
Sure.
So when God speaks, Romans 11:29, right? God's promises are irrevocable. So when God gives promises, he's not going to have a bad day tomorrow and wake up on the wrong side of the bed and say, today I'm coming for collection. I'm collecting everything that I've ever said to you. Then it'll make God to be a liar.
Sure.
So when God has released a promise in your life, it is done. That is why you can find somebody that operates as a prophet and they're accurate and the people get healed, but they have bad fruit. They have bad character.
Yo.
Because God, once God has given out his promise, it's not irrevocable. He's not going to come and say, bring it back. I'm tired now of you. No, he leaves you. Character is what I do to partner with what God has said.
You
understand what I'm talking about?
Entirely.
Exactly. So people get confused. I don't know. I thought she was a woman of God. I thought he was a man of God. No. God is not going to take it back. But in my book, I'm trying to get people to understand that promises of God are not, they don't happen automatically. We partner, we participate, we obey. How does God know that you love him? He said, I know that you love me if you obey
my command.
The love language of God is the
obedience.
Obedience.
Come on, man.
Okay, but when we self-sabotage, we miss out from the love language of God because now I'm a bitter person. Bitterness is one of the things that people can self-sabotage from. People that are bitter, they don't forgive. They just hold grudges. And when God comes to you and say, listen, this is the promise I have of you. These are things I'm going to do with you in your life and all that. Because of the bitterness, it is hard for that word to come in like a seed. Your heart is not fertile. Anything that comes into a bitter heart, it dies.
Sure.
That is why, why is it there when Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. You are going to be offended. You are going to go through pain. But Jesus said, what do you do with the pain? You make a decision to forgive and to let go and to give the pain to him. But most people don't do that. They are saved. But don't play with me. If I cut you off, I cut you off. That's not the language of a Christian.
Sure.
Because if you go down in the very book, I think Matthew 6, it said, if you have not forgiven others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you.
In other words, your measure, the measure you use will be used good.
But the problem when it comes to self-sabotage now is that God says something to you. But because you carry so much bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, when the word comes, that thing chokes the word.
Sure.
And other thing, I start to compare myself with others. Like, God, I cannot believe. Oh, Lord, I've been waiting on you. But look now, Sean Paul, everything he does prospers. And now, I'm sitting here. Nothing is. It's just bitterness is one of those hard things. Bitterness chokes the promise of God. It chokes your peace. It's hard to find somebody that is bitter who's a person of joy.
No
joy. They're bitter. Lemon, every time. Lemon.
So basically, what you're saying, Ali, is that chances are you are the one who squishes that blessing when it gets to your heart, it finds bitterness, and hey, God, you did it yourself, Luko.
You are the one because it's given to you. Remember? God is not going to come take it from you. God is so serious about this. He says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, hey, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And he says to him, I appointed you a prophet. Before he could be born, his destiny was established.
Sure.
So it means if Jeremiah did not fulfill what God has said, it was on Jeremiah, not on God.
Come on.
You know, one of the greatest things that Dr. Miles Monroe said, he said, if you go in any city, the richest place in any city, it is not the tallest buildings and the banks, but he says the gravesite. He said, because there lies potential and purpose that was never realized. And why is that? It is because there lies people that self-sabotaged, that allowed other things to speak louder than the promises that God has given to them.
Sure.
Do you know discouragement can also sabotage your destiny? That you are so discouraged, unmotivated and heavy laden, that when God comes to you and say, this is the promise that I have for you, you now begin to weigh the word of God according to the discouragement that you carry.
And you treat him with that heart. This is heavy. And I feel like there's no way you can have this conversation. I'm sure even Jean Paul sitting next to you right now can say, there's no way you can have this conversation with anybody without them literally introspecting. Because I'm sitting here, Jean Paul, sorry to bring you in here. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh, Kulunkuluam, could it be that the reason some of the things have really slowed down and delayed in my life is not necessarily because you haven't spoken it or declared it over me, but because I have lacked confidence. I have doubted you, Lord. Where literally I'm like going into the rooms of my heart to say, where have I missed it, Lord? Where have I gone for an alternative when I could have just waited on you, Lord? Sure. Ali, this is really interesting.
That's the point of the book right there. For us to search into our hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a book that condemns. It's a book that says, can I just look at the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror? Can the problem not be the fact that the devil is sabotaging me? Could I be the one that is actually doing the work?
Yeah.
And the devil is sitting out there saying, I didn't do anything. You are the one that is discouraged. You are the one that is bitter. There's another chapter in the book. It's shame. Shame and guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
So because you carry this shame of whatever you have. And the Bible says in Joel, my people will not be put to shame. But it's amazing that we can carry shame because of our past and the guilt of things that we have done. And God comes to you and Sean Paul and says, man, I have plans for you, man. And like Jeremiah 29, my plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. See, and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, you cannot be talking to me. God, I carry shame. Shame is something that is so demonic. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
And until you understand the grace at which was released to you and the forgiveness and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus and understand that there is nothing in yourself that you can do to deserve what is being given to you. Nothing.
Sure. Yeah, no.
But then when God comes speak, shame is what comes out. Oh, God, you cannot be talking about me. God, you know what I've done. God said, but I sent my son on the cross. He died for it.
Sure, this is super powerful. Listen, I am looking at our time. I think we're going to run it down. But I think I want to know where and how do we get this book? By the way, how long are you around the country?
I'm flying back on Monday.
Guys, he's gone. You can't even hijack him for a session. No, he's gone. But how do we get our hands on the book?
I've got a book launch coming up on Saturday at
11. Please.
Yeah, Hatfield Christian Church. Okay. Somebody said Hatfield. I think there's another Hatfield.
There's a Hartfield arena. Okay, yes. This is Hatfield.
Hatfield Christian Church. We're having a book launch this Saturday, the 4th of October, from 11 to 1.
Okay.
It's going to be there at one of their halls there. The people will know when they come in there, where it's happening. And that's where the book is going to be available there. And we'll give out more information on Facebook, my Facebook, or my Instagram. There's a handle, right?
Yes.
I should not expose my age. Hey, my Instagram name.
No, you're me. I would have done the same.
Yeah, it's Ali, Ally. My last name or surname is Kgosana. Ali Hosana. Facebook, the same thing. Ali Hosana, Ally Kgosana. I'm on TikTok as well. Believe it or not.
TikTok.
Yes. So the same everywhere. All my platforms is Ali Hosana, Ally. And my surname, Kgosana. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Ali, his humility, by the way, is at a level where he let it out while he was talking. He's pastoring a church, but he will not be called pastor, you know. He's like, whatever, I got a name. My name is Ali. That's it.
I love my name.
Thank you so much, Ali. Really appreciate this conversation. All the best for Saturday.
Thank you.
Travel mercies. Did you come alone?
I came with my wife, but she left on Tuesday, so I'm following on. Yeah, so I'm going back alone.
Oh,
I've not come alone, but I'm going back alone. Yes.
All right, then. God bless, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Tapelo ya mosiami e nonofile go dira tse dikgolo fa e le ya tloafalo. Ka kopo tswella go rapella Radio Pulpit le tiro e re dirang mo lefaseng la Afrika Borwa le kontle ga naga.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Add your voice to ours. We want to hear from you. Contact us at gospel@radiopulpit.co.za or send a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.